As the great independent director, Mr. Werner Herzog, once said, I despise formal restaurants. I find all of that formality to be very base and vile. I would much rather eat potato chips on the sidewalk.
Hello, and welcome to Potato Chips on the Sidewalk. I'm Barbecue Ben. Joining me today is...
It's a Jacob, bro.
It's a Jacob. Video games. How do you feel about them?
Oh, man, I love them.
Do you? Yeah, you like getting a bag of Cheetos?
I do. I have to admit one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not such a glutton for punishment that I'm going to put this in my top five because it does not deserve to be here.
Mm-hmm.
But I must admit, and this is something only the Australian viewers will know, my most played game of 2023 was AFL 2023. Which is one of the worst pieces of shit I've ever played, but I somehow sunk 60 hours.
60?
I don't know how. I just... Perhaps it was because Geelong were having a bad season that I just...
I kept on
having these things where like I'd like fucking just like annihilate Collingwood by like 160 points.
That's ridiculous.
But that is not in my top five. I don't have a lot of self-respect for myself, obviously, because I played AFL 2023. But, yes, that is... I need to put that disclaimer out there. And Big Ant, can you please just fucking fix the game?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Ben, what did you think of 2023 for video games?
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was packed with a lot of stuff that I didn't get to play everything that I wanted to.
Neither.
But I feel like my top five is pretty solid, and I have a couple honorable mentions that I do want to shout out as very good games that just didn't quite make it into my top five.
Okay. Yep. So do you want to, considering did I start last time or did you?
Well, again, do you want to start off with the thing we did last time? Last time, but was there anything you played this year that was from a previous year that you want to shout out?
Babdi, which is this like small sort of like a game. I forget who it's developed by, but it's like it was released. It probably could have qualified as 2023, but I don't really do that. It's like a free, like a PC game, which is like, you're sort of just like thrown into this like brutalist open world, like without a lot of context. And it's like, it's a very unique game. And look, if you have a PC, it doesn't need to run that intensive hardware. But yeah, I'd say like probably... If I were to call it a 2023 game, it'd probably be up there. So, yeah. What about you, Ben?
Again, this is kind of cheating because I played it before, but I recently did a playthrough of Max Payne 3 again. It's a fucking masterpiece. You know, obviously, like, you know, rest in peace, James McCaffrey. Like, he's a fucking legend. That voice playing that character is just... it's just lightning in a bottle. Like without James McCaffrey, just like Max Payne doesn't exist. Put that to the first two games as well. But Max Payne 3, I can't believe, like, I think it was 2012 it came out. I genuinely believe that if that came out after The Last of Us, it would have been heralded as the masterpiece that it is. But I feel like people weren't really accepting of something so like stylized and cinematic until after The Last of Us. It was just so like ahead of its time. And you know, like everybody like talks about the music in that game. Fucking when you're in that airport, shoot dodging to Tears by Health, it's just it's magic. Like, it's just, I think it's one of the greatest games ever made, and probably, I think, might be controversial, Rockstar's best game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, no, I do also want to say something that I guess technically counts, but yeah. I honestly was considering putting this on my 2022 list because I think that they are this exceptional, but I want to point to two remasters this year that I think...
Metroid Prime.
That's one of them.
Yeah.
That I really think raised the bar for what remasters can and should be.
Yeah.
It was
and the Metroid GTA Prime. Collection.
No. Quake 2 remastered.
Oh, wow. I didn't play that. It was on Game Pass, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. And, like, so many remasters either don't do fucking jack shit, or they try and make it look more modern and just kind of, like, take away from the experience. Like, I think, you know, we've seen that so often with, like, not only remasters, but remakes of games as well. So those two being, like, what you think... what you remember the games being were like when they first came out, but they're done with so much care and love and thoughtfulness. Like, they aren't half-assed remasters, but, like, they don't...
Look, we can say it. The Last of Us Part 2.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we can, like, say it. Yeah, I mean, it's just like... You know, I think we should ask more for video game companies if they're going to be going this hard and remastered. And
yeah,
I really have to give it to the teams who did Metroid Prime and Quake 2 remastered here because they are just fucking phenomenal experiences. And two of the best games ever made, both Metroid Prime and Quake 2. And I really want game developers to look at those two examples as what we should be striving to do when we're doing remasters from now on.
I'm looking at my top five list right now, and like one of them's extremely stylized in their art, and the other one's just one of the like most graphically like impressive games I've ever seen. But like the other three, like I think they all look great, but Metroid Prime Remastered, like for a game that's 21 years old that we're talking about right now,
yeah,
it looks better. Like it just like the art that they put into that remaster, like it like it's as much of a remake as The Last of Us Part 1 on PS5 is.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Like it's great. Yeah, do you want to start or do you want me to start?
I think I started last time, so you start.
Okay, so my number five game of the year is a bit of a reverse of where your number one for TV was, because I know you don't like it. Jedi Survivor. Look, Jedi Survivor, I think, is like it's everything I want in a Star Wars game. Where you play as a Jedi, obviously, like, there's, I do, like, shooters and everything, but, like, when it comes to, like, you know, like, you can choose your lightsaber color, you can build your lightsaber, you can choose your stances, you can have double-bladed, you can have dual-wield, you can have a single blade, you have your heavy, you have, and you can even fight with the blaster as well, and, like, all those, like, you can be the type of Jedi that you want to be, which is, like, a fantasy that, like, I've had since I was 4 or 5 years old, you know, like, obviously it's not like a full blown like RPG or anything where I'm completely like, making my decisions. Like it's very influenced by like something like Uncharted, where it's, it is like a single player story where like you are following a path. But like when it comes down to like that type of game, I think it's just, as good as Star Wars can be, in the realms of like video game in that specific genre. I do think the story is a little weak towards the end where like, I feel like the first maybe 3/4 of the game has so much momentum and then the last quarter does the opposite of like slowing down. Like it crams so much in those last couple hours that I think it's just too rushed at the end, and that it just it left me a little wanting for like something a bit more not like emotionally resonant, just kind of like looking outward, like where it becomes like very like it becomes a bit of like just a pursuit between two characters where like it kind of ignores everything that came beforehand, where like there's a twist and then like it kind of forgets like the objective that you were having for like the rest of the story. There is a moment towards the beginning where it's the first like real boss fight between you and another lightsaber wielder, where there's a cutscene. I think it's just one of the coolest things in Star Wars. It involves a kyber crystal, and I like just like it just made like, you know, the 12-year-old in me who fucking loves Star Wars and just will, if Star Wars is good, I will just be the happiest person in the world. And then we all know what Star Wars fans are like. When that's not the case, but like, you know, like it hit for me, but like I do sympathize with people finding it a little bit wanting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jake, what's your number five? I know it's not in your top five, so do you want to say anything about it?
No. I was quite disappointed by it. I'm getting a little sick of games that I really feel like should be quite linear level based games that like also are trying to be this like semi open world thing, but I digress.
Okay, well, I platinumed it, so like I got what I wanted out of it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. I understand, and I am jealous of the people who got from it what I really wanted from it. I was really excited for the game as well, so
yeah,
that was quite a big disappointment. My number five is one of the last big name games that got released in 2023.
Mm-hmm.
It filled a need that I thought the innocent teenage Jacob was really wanting from the PS4 era of multiplayer gaming, which is that, you know, everyone really, there's so much promise that, you know, multiplayer is the next big thing. And what I really wanted from that era was like very small, tight and focused experiences that only do a few things. They're not trying to spread themselves too thin, but they do those things really well. And so it's Embark Studios' debut game, The Finals. So ex-DICE developers, I believe they're making this and Ark Raiders, which was announced first, but The Finals ended up coming out first. And just what I wanted from an FPS multiplayer shooter all these years ago. It's not perfect, it's still in its like early days, so, you know, obviously quite a bit of like, yeah. And obviously there's the elephant in the room, which is a lot of the voice acting is AI, which I just think is fucking disgusting, and honestly I turned it off, and that's the only way I find it enjoyable anymore. So Embark, please just fucking hire voice actors. It sounds wrong, and the rest of the game around it's so good, and you should do it there. But yeah, look, it's addictive. I've sunk about 20 hours into it, and it's only been out for like just over a month now, so yeah, it's just been like the perfect sit down play game of the last year for me, besides AFL 2023. But yeah, I'm glad I'm now addicted to a game that isn't AFL 2023.
Nice. And your number four?
My number four, it's a game that It seems to have probably the weirdest narrative a game has had this year, where when it released, everyone was like, this is the fucking greatest game ever made. And then a month later, everyone was kind of just like, okay, maybe it's not the greatest game ever made, but still a really good one. So Legend of Zelda's Tears of the Kingdom. I have a feeling that's going to be one of your honorable mentions that you were talking about.
Yeah, no. I think everything you're going to say applies to what my honorable mention is. Like what you're saying just now, where like in the moment, I'll let you finish. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Like the first like 10 or 12 hours I played the game were just like, I was floored. I was like, this is hands down game of the year. This might be the fucking greatest game of all time. It's like the systems that they bring into this game, building upon Breath of the Wild, are just so perfect, so finessed and like insane from a development standpoint that like, you know, you can pretty much have this fucking building system and like physics system that is just like kind of unparalleled in gaming, and the atmosphere is so great. It probably wasn't as palpable as Breath of the Wild, but like I was having a great time with it.
Yeah.
Again, this is still my top four of the year, so I don't want to sound too mean about it, but I played about 50 hours of it, and then I was like, this is still kind of just Breath of the Wild, but with these elements in it. And I'm not saying it's an expansion pack.
I don't think it is either.
I was hoping for it to not be of the same structure and mold of Breath of the Wild, and I found that a little disappointing, and honestly, I'm sure it wouldn't have perturbed me as much if I hadn't just replayed Breath of the Wild about only a few months prior to that. But, you know, that's a game where, you know, you have to go to all four corners of the map, find the divine beasts or weapons or whatever, and yeah, it's like, it's that. It feels a bit bad to like criticize a Zelda game for being formulaic. They all are.
But see,
that's what works about them.
But the problem for me was, it has those four main objectives like in Breath of the Wild, but then I heard that it has, that's only half the game this time, which I don't want to complain about, you know, too much content, but games just have too much content.
Yeah, I felt a bit conflicted about having it on here because I didn't finish it, but
it's
not to detract from the achievement that it is, and like, look, it's like, I feel like it's gonna have the same fate as something like Super Mario Galaxy 2, also a Nintendo game, where like at the time everyone's like, this is the greatest of all time, but then people will say, actually the first one probably was, is the one that people hold in their hearts a bit more, so.
Yeah.
I'm sure if I didn't play Breath of the Wild, this probably would be top two, but because I had it, just kind of, I found it a bit, I don't know, there's so much in it, but I just didn't feel the need to finish it, and like, as you said, games are so long, you know.
Yeah.
We're in our mid-20s now, like, entering our late 20s, which is terrifying.
Shut up with that.
You know, I can't quite justify putting in hundreds of hours into a game these days. So, yeah, especially if it is kind of, if one half of it's pretty much very similar to the one I only played recently.
I will just quickly put my honorable mention here for it, since we're like in the discussion for it, like we're talking about those four main objectives like they had in Breath of the Wild. I did two of those over the course of about 60 hours. And when I found out that I had two more to go and then the game keeps going after that, unlike Breath of the Wild, it kind of just scared me when I was just like, I don't know. Like, I wanted to leave it in a place where I still did like it when I was getting tired of it. And everything you said, like, you know, the systems, like it's a miraculous game. Like, yes. It's kind of a miracle it exists. It just kind of, it unfortunately outstayed its welcome for me a little bit. I
I hate to be like the guy who's like upset at something for being something that it's not trying to be, but I do miss Zelda in its, you know, Twilight Princess form. You know, like, yeah. Where it was. It is, like, not exactly linear. You can, you know, tackle those games however you want. But, like, you know, I do like a little bit more of a designed dungeon than these two, like, the duology of Breath of the Wild gave us. But, yeah, again, outstanding game. It just kind of... too daunting for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, so what's your number four for the year, Ben?
Something that I only recently started playing, that's why it's so low.
Yeah.
But Baldur's Gate 3. I'm nowhere near finished it. I'm probably going to be playing it over the next, I don't know, like 4 years before I finish it. Because you just, again, like, you know, like it's, you can, you just go in any direction and you can find something. And then, before you know it, you're in like a 45 minute, goblin battle. You know, like it's like in terms of just like pure RPG systems, you know, like you can do whatever you want. You can attack anything, you can just commit the most heinous war crimes, you can romance anyone, you can you can literally tackle the game however you want to. It being a testament that it is based on Dungeons and Dragons, you know, like I used to have a Dungeons and Dragons game going that hasn't been running for like over a year now, so just kind of like scratched an itch that I forgot I had for that kind of experience. You know, like, again, like, you know, it is based off Dungeons and Dragons, but, like, the combat is, like, it's literally, you know, rolling dice. You know, you're doing what, like, what you're doing on the tabletop in the game, and it scratched that itch for me, and it still is, like, I'm currently going through the Underdark, and it's just outstanding. Like, I love how, like, you know, like, you get, like, all your companions that are on, like, the key art that you see on Steam, and then you can be like, okay, anybody who's played Baldur's Gate, Gale sucks. Gale was the worst, and as soon as I found anyone that could replace him in my party, I just got rid of him. And I love that you can, like, there's obviously, like, a whole, like, I don't know, like, story that's got to do with him that I don't want anything to do with, because it's just the worst. Like, get out of my party. And I love that you can do that and not feel like you're missing out on anything. Yeah. And it's, I just love it for that. Like, it's truly endless in a way that I, like, you know, like, something like Mass Effect, where obviously you do make decisions, but, like, it still feels like you are, in the constraints of their narrative. This, I don't feel constrained by the narrative at all. And it's just... it's every great thing you've heard about, it's true. But, like, the reason why I do have it at number four is that, like, I just haven't... I've barely scratched the surface. Yeah, scratched the surface. Great game.
I was putting that off this year, or last year, because I'm going to try and do my... going to try and start doing my PhD in 2025, and I want
smart
that to
guy
be
over
final, here. I want that to be my final big game ever. So, yeah. Like, it's like, you know, I'm probably sadly reaching the point where I said in Tears Kingdom, I can't really justify putting in hundreds of hours into games, unless it's AFL 23, of course, but, yeah, I feel like this next year is probably, like, the last year I can, at least for the foreseeable future, you know, like, next three years after, at least, because I don't want to be playing 100-hour games and while doing a PhD.
Yeah.
But, you know, I want that to be my last one, and I'm really excited to play it.
Nice.
Whose turn is
now it's to my number three.
Yes.
I have Dredge. down as my number three. It's a it's not completely Lovecraftian all the way through, but like it's kind of I'm trying to think of like how I want to describe it, where it's kind of like northeastern fishing core, like northeastern America fishing mixed with like Lovecraft and then a little bit of like deep south mysticism in it. And it's basically, the premise is you're a fisherman who has lost his memory, and you basically just have to solve a mystery by talking to the people in these seaside villages, and you catch fish to earn money and upgrade your boat, and then you sail around this area where there's a part that's like a bayou, there's like a part that's like ancient temple, there's a part that's like an Italian fishing village, and you know, like there's like pirates and there's deep sea monsters, and it's like you have to like navigate, and at night time you start like to get like a bit of like an insane meter, so you have to be back before nightfall. And it's got this like cel shaded art style, and I think it just comes together in a way that is you know, like my mate Sam that I live with came in my room one day and was like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "Oh, I'm playing Dredge, it's like this fishing game," and he goes, "A fishing game?" You know, like he's big into like, you know, like Assassin's Creed. I think he's on his like fourth Assassin's Creed game in the last like, I don't know, like month and a half. He's playing through Valhalla right now, and he can just sit there for like 8 hours and just play Assassin's Creed, which I just can't even like just think about doing. Like, you know, like it's that would drive me insane with all those icons everywhere. But like, you know, like he's fishing, and I'm like, yeah, like fishing, and like trying to explain it to him. that there's a lot more going on the surface than just fishing, but like it's
yeah,
like it's, I think it's just such a great atmospheric little like 8 hour experience, and it's actually DLC for it that I haven't played yet that I do want to get to at some point in the near future. But yeah, great game. No,
that was a big omission for me. I haven't played it yet, but I really
I really really love it. Yeah.
No, I loved everything I've looked to it. I just haven't gotten around to it. So yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to it.
Nice.
Okay. Is it number my three? Turn?
Yeah, for you, Jake. Okay.
Yep. So this was. I've tried to avoid putting this type of game in my list.
Mm-hmm.
Because on an on the level of an industry, I'm scared of everything getting too stuck in the past, and you know, like, you know, the fact that we can't even call our the sequel, like, not everything in a franchise is even like could be considered an original sequel now, like, if there is such thing. But
yeah,
I came into this remake with a lot of skepticism because it was one of my favorite games of all time. And I hadn't, you know, I'm always hesitant when they quote, a game tries to quote unquote modernize it, but I found this to be one of the most thoughtful yet faithful remakes in quite some time. Dead Space.
Nice.
Which, just the best version of one of the best games ever made. I couldn't quite justify putting it number one or two, but it's pretty close there if I'm talking about like games that I love, because it's like it's not just a facelift, and the facelift I find wasn't funnily enough, like it did remind me what I felt the original Dead Space looked like. I still think there are some elements of the original Dead Space that do just feel better for me, but perhaps that's just because I'm so nostalgic for the first game. But you know, the added Metroidvania style of that As I was saying earlier, I think more games should embrace being more linear and level based, but this does really work for Dead Space. And yeah, look, I'm really sad that Visceral Games had to be shut down by EA, and I'm sad that they didn't get to work on this, especially as EA did fuck up Dead Space 3 so badly. But you know, I'm really looking forward to Dead Space 2, if they are going to do the remake. I think this did sell well enough there, because Dead Space 2 is probably my favourite of the series. But I'm most interested in, if they ever do get to Dead Space 3, how the hell they would remake that, because I feel like it would have to be markedly different to the one that Visceral were first doing. Yeah, look, it's the best version of one of the best games ever made. I don't really know what else to say about that. So, I guess Snake Order, that means my number two's next?
Yep.
Okay. Well, it's Super Mario Wonder. Nice. Like, I feel like I have quite a basic bitch list. I don't think there's an indie in my top five, which I'm a little like embarrassed by, but I just didn't really get to that many this year. And the ones I did play, a lot of them were good, but they didn't quite make my top five list, sadly. Like, we'll get to the honorable mentions later anyway. But look, Super Mario Wonder is just like the 2D Mario games have had such an interesting ride, because obviously 1 till World are so acclaimed, like, besides the technically canonically second one, not the Lost Levels, which I think is one of the best ones. And then there was a bit of hiatus, and then New Super Mario Bros. Came out for the DS. And I think that was one of the first games that I fell in love with as a little boy. And it holds such a special place in my heart. But people shit on that entire New Super Mario Bros. Series now for good reason, because they did New Super Mario Bros. DS, New Super Mario Bros. Wii, New Super Mario Bros. 2 on the 3DS, and New Super Mario Bros. U. They are all the same game. And they did not move the aesthetic that was established on the DS game at all. But there was one level in New Super Mario Bros. U that everyone went, wow, they should make a whole game of this, which is the Van Gogh inspired level in New Super Mario Bros. U. Super Mario Wonder takes that, hey, like, what if we took the creativity of that Van Gogh level in Mario Bros. U and turned that and just applied that to every level? Every level is so creative and has like a quote unquote gimmick, but it's just relentless. Like, yeah, it's... I don't think it's the best Mario has felt in terms of movement in the 2D sphere, but I think it is bar for bar, like level for level, just the most creative and imaginative one. Like, there is a surprise in every level, multiple surprises at every level. There's so much just to mine and like digest. I think it would honestly be... I wish it was a little bit more difficult in areas, but that's the only thing that I can really mark it against it. Like, and yeah, look, it's just a fantastic, fantastic experience, and like one I feel like I could just pick up and replay whenever I want, and it'll still feel as fresh and like something new to discover every time I play it. So yeah, Super Mario Wonder, that just is the most fantastic platformer in quite some time.
Nice.
Ben, what's your number two?
Before I get to my number two, Mario Wonder was going to be one of my honorable mentions. Like, agree with everything you said. I think I've only played about half of it, so I haven't finished it. Like, I didn't think I've played enough to really put it on my top five. But yeah, I I hate to be like the vindictive guy, but you know, 2017 and 2023, I think they have one thing in common, that the Mario game was better than the Zelda game, and nobody wants to admit that. But yeah, I just feel like Mario is he's just not getting his flowers, because, you know, like, oh, people think of Mario, he's just that guy, you know, like, but he's never in the conversation as the best as he should be at this point. And I feel like he just hasn't been respect on Mario's name. Okay, his name is Mario, and put some respect on it. Okay, so my number two of the year, surprise, From Software Simp, Armored Core 6. This is actually my first Armored Core game. I feel like it's a lot of people's first Armored Core game. But bar for bar, like mission for mission, I think it's just got the best combat of any game this year. Like, it's just, you know, like, missions range between, like, 30 seconds to like 15 minutes, and you build your mech, you choose your weapons, and you just go, and like, it's just, you know, like, it's just flow state gaming, where you're like, you're not even thinking about what buttons you're pressing, you're just like, it just feels so good to play, and I need to do another playthrough of it at some point. Like, it's just feels so good, it runs like a dream, which is something that you don't really hear about a From Software game on launch. But it's the Sekiro team. You know, like, they just know how to make an action game through and through, and just I loved it from beginning to end. And I'm not usually one to care about what's happening in a From Software game. I'm there for the vibes. But the voice acting in this is just really good. Like, it's all told through, like, just you know, like, codec conversations, like in Metal Gear Solid. But like, you hear these voices, and they're such a full character, and you don't even see anyone's face or anything. Like, I just really love this game, and I hope that it becomes a pillar in From Software's catalog going forward. You know, like they've had their different franchises, but they've all relatively felt the same, apart from maybe Sekiro. So obviously, this is a different team, but yeah, great game, and I hope there's DLC, or just like, I've heard like New Game Plus like changes a bit and adds stuff, so I do want to get back to this at some point.
Yeah, no, I think funnily enough, that was actually one of my most anticipated games of the year, because like, I was playing Armored Core on the PS1 that I got lent to before my mum threw it out, because she was anti-video game at that point, and look how that turned out, mum. But, yeah, look, I remember I had it pre-ordered on Amazon, and then they, on the day, said, oh, it was coming today, but now it's coming in a month. And then I went to JB Hi-Fi to try and get it, and they said, nah, sorry, it's sold out in every store in WA already. And this is, like, only 3 hours into retail hours of that day, so I was like, well, fuck. And I just haven't played it because of that.
It's a shame. Yeah, you're missing out. So
yeah, no, I'm definitely getting to that as soon as I can.
Great game. Anyway, I think...
Yeah.
Last year, did we have the same game of the year? I know we did in 2021.
No, it was the year before. It was the year before. I didn't rank 20 last year in
games. Yeah. 2021 we had the same game of the year, and I think it's happened again.
And it was a foregone conclusion, and
I think we had the same top two that year as well. Yeah, Returnal. Yes. Well,
it's,
Metroid
it's,
Dread.
yeah, it's a foregone conclusion if you know either Ben or I what our favorite game of the year is. Like,
what is it?
I'm Alan Wake. I'm a writer. I miss my wife. Alan Wake 2.
Wow. Yeah.
How do you even start with a game like that? Seriously, no, that wasn't a rhetorical question. How do I?
I don't know where we start either. I think we both think Alan Wake 1 is a stone cold masterpiece.
Yeah.
You know, like we joked with Control about how you know, like, oh, this Sam Lake guy, he really likes David Lynch, but Alan Wake 1 is just one of the most unashamed ripoffs of anybody else's work that is, like, it's borderline plagiarism, but it's so sincere in every way that it just, it, like, the first game is lightning in a bottle. I don't even know how to describe it to someone who hasn't, you know, like, come near, like, Twin Peaks, but, like, it's if Twin Peaks was the corniest, hard-boiled detective story. Like, it's just, I don't even know where to begin with this. Like,
yeah.
What do we want to talk about here? Like, are we going to do like a full review on Alan Wake 2?
When we were on hiatus, we were considering doing a full review on it. We probably do need to do one sometime in the future. But I think it's, I really loved it from the first moment, but the moment I knew that this was like a genuine all-timer game is a scene where, you know, Sam Lake isn't a particularly subtle writer, but there's a sequence where we first introduced to Alan Wake in the dark place, and, you know, Alan Wake is obviously a write-in for, like, Sam Lake, or, part of him at least. But, yeah, where he walks down an alleyway and Alan Wake gets pinned by Alex Casey, played by both the late great James McCaffrey with vocal duties and with likeness of Sam Lake himself. It's a very thinly veiled a write-in for Max Payne, Sam Lake's most famous creation. So, yeah, pinning him to a wall and it just feels like a nightmare. Like, it, again, I don't want to be too hyperbolic, but, like, these are the sort of games that, like, genuinely push the medium forward. Like, there's a part where that you can entirely miss, and I'm pretty sure Ben did, actually, but there's a 20-minute short film, a 20-minute short film, and that pretty much gives the most quote-unquote, like, lore, and I guess also prompts further questions about the world that we're in, and
I had no idea.
It's also a fucking hilarious game. Like, Alan Wake is one of the funniest characters of all time because he just has to be one of, like, the most powerful video game protagonists of all time who just gets a little anxious and a little concerned with John Travings. He just fucks everything up for himself and helps everybody else.
He's so, like, vain with it that he's just, like, he can't help himself because he's such, like, a, I don't want to call him a hack, but he's just, like, he's too much of a perfectionist for his own good. He's got, like, this imposter syndrome that like, holds him back. But I really don't know what we can say about this that really, like, encapsulates what this is. It's just so, like, obviously I'm saying, like, it's wholesale stealing from David Lynch and Twin Peaks, but it's in a way that it's just so idiosyncratic in its own way, where, like, it is through the lens of Remedy and Sam Lake. And I don't want to credit only Sam Lake, because, like, Remedy as a studio, like, you know, like, they're such a
talented studio, like when it comes to the art, the music, you know, like the graphical fidelity. I don't want to talk about, you know, like, oh wow, look how like good it looks, but like it's just everything just comes together to this package that is just unlike anything else. Like, you know, it's hard to really describe.
Yeah, it's a multimedia experience, obviously very effective at that. Also a very effective horror game, but as I said before, it's also fucking hilarious. It's a piece, you know, that's reckoning with, you know, Remedy's own fucking history and what it means to be a creator and what it means to keep on as an individual artist, keep on going down the same roads and concerns with characters and themes. And we're going to talk about this a lot in the film episode, I feel. But yeah, that sort of like deep dive into something about yourself and about life and about humanity that you're not going to get the answers for necessarily. It's a game that pushes the medium forward. It's a game that, you know, you can definitely meme to whatever degree, but yeah, it's a masterpiece, and I think it's the right amount of goofy, the right amount of scary. It's cerebral enough, but it's also dumb enough. It's what I wanted. I don't think it'll ever quite be the same game as Alan Wake 1, which, like, it doesn't need to be, but this is, like, the absolute best a sequel could have been to it.
Yeah, look, I do probably prefer the first one in terms of just, like, its own piece, but what Remedy is doing with, like, connecting it to Control and, like, making it a part of this wider universe, which, if you'd told me, like, in 2018, before I played Control, about, like, that they were making Alan Wake a part of a shared universe, I would have been very, like, apprehensive about it. But it's, what they're doing as a studio, like, they're the top of their game, and I think they're only gonna get more successful with what they're doing as time goes on.
Yeah, it hasn't done too well in sales, but like, in terms of recognition, this is finally put Remedy in the long overdue pantheon of like being the best of the best in terms of game developers. And I think we finally have seen them step up to the mantle and being appreciated in a way that they deserve to. And I can't wait for whatever they do next. And I mean, Control 2 and Max Payne 1 and 2 remake, which obviously with the sad passing of James McCaffrey does bring some questions to how they could do that. But if it does go ahead, and knowing what we know about Sam Lake and playing Alan Wake 2, there's no way a Max Payne remake isn't going to be the most meta shit of all time, especially since like Alan Wake 1 and 2 is pretty much Sam Lake venting about the Mark Wahlberg Max Payne movie. And it's like creating an entire fictional universe around being mad at the Mark Wahlberg Max Payne movie is pretty funny.
Anyway, I think we said what we need to say. Just before we leave you, Jacob, is there anything coming in 2024 that you're looking forward to? Oh, no, honorable mention, sorry. Yeah, God. Okay, so I want to shout out, I've already shouted out Mario Wonder and Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. Couple I want to shout out quickly, Lies of P. It's a very, very good Souls-like. Unfortunately, I just don't think anyone does it like From Software. Like, you know, this is probably the closest they've ever gotten to, you know, being perfectly anywhere near to what From Software can do with that genre. But like, you know, like at the end of the day, like if you're looking for something to scratch the Bloodborne itch, Lies of P is a very good contender for that. And another Souls-like from Team Ninja, Wolong, Fallen Dynasty is more along the lines of Sekiro than it is anything else. But again, like just great combat, great world. It just falls a little bit short of what I'm looking for in that genre, but both great games. I don't know how many hours into. Yeah. Anything from you, Jacob?
Yeah, my last omission from the list was Humanity, which is a great puzzle game that keeps on reinventing itself in really new and surprising ways. I feel a bit bad I just missed out on the list because I'm realizing now I don't actually have an indie game in my top five, which is, you know, I usually try and at least have one, but, you know, kind of have to be truthful to myself. But yeah, no, it's still a great game. Like, really one I recommend that anyone plays. It's, like, quite accessible, though it does get pretty challenging. And if you're unfortunately like me and still have that PS Plus Deluxe or Extra or whatever it's called subscription that hasn't run out yet, despite it being that being a complete fucking ripoff and PlayStation really just like pick up their slack if they don't want a mass if they don't want me gone at least. But yeah, anyway, like I believe it's still on there and you gotta play it. It's amazing. It's phenomenal design, inventive and yeah, also endlessly replayable as well. Also, a Highland Song. That was, I think, the last game I played this year. Just a really beautiful, like, platformer, indie narrative-driven platformer that's, like, set in Scotland. And, you know, it does have that indie game trope of, like, it's all taking place in one stretch and you're going from point A to point B, but the real thing is the journey along the way. Yeah, just, it's fantastic, though. Like, really beautifully written and composed, and, also just a stunning game to look at, honestly. I'm embarrassed, but, it's a fucking broken piece of shit game, but I'd be remiss to not say AFL 2023. It barely gets any of the game of AFL right, but, look. It's a game where Geelong, for me, was the greatest team of 2023, so I did kind of need that, but I also don't know how to feel about this one anymore, but Marvel Snap. I'd say the first 3 months of 2023, like, I know I tend to count as a 2022 game, but, like, I only started playing in 2023, I was going to cheat it on my list, but It would have been close to my number one. I think that was the perfect card game, but it then just fell into this, like, unbalanced nightmare where, like, it kind of becomes the worst of the sort of quote-unquote freemium titles in that, like, you know, you had to get certain cards in the scene pass to pretty much beat anyone, and if you don't have it, then you're pretty much fucked for that update. And, yeah, it's just become unbalanced, and I quit it. So, but it was amazing in that, like, peak moment. Yeah.
Nice. Anything what are you looking forward to?
I'd like to say Silk Song, if I believe it exists, but to be honest, I'm not quite sure if it does. Oh god, what else is coming out this year?
Well, I've got a few I want to shout out as what I'm looking forward to. I got Hellblade 2, Senua's Saga. Looking forward to that one. I want to talk about The Wolf Among Us 2, if that does come out this year. You know, like, there was a golden era of Telltale, and I think The Wolf Among Us was probably the best one that they put out. Like, everyone talks about The Walking Dead Season 1 as the pinnacle of Telltale, but I think The Wolf Among Us, you know, like, got a bit overshadowed, but definitely probably my favourite of the three of them, of everything that they put out over that 8 years that bankrupted them. And also next month we got Pacific Drive coming, which I think looks great. Yeah,
I forgot those were games that exist, but yeah, I'm looking forward to them. I guess speculatively, because I do know that they're working on new projects, but I don't know how far away they are. Giant Sparrow are developers of Unfinished Swan and What Remains of Edith Finch. It's been about 7 years since Edith Finch, so... And I do know there have been in development of a game, but you don't know how long that's going to take. And if that comes this year, of course, that'll be up there for me. Of course, Cardboard Computer. are working on a new game. They finished Kentucky Road Zero, my favorite game of all time, in early 2023. So I know they poured that over to like a few consoles and devices, but you know, I don't think a new game will come out this year. But if it does, that has to be the top. Hellblade 2, I'm really interested in. The Indiana Jones game, I know people are talking shit because it's a first person shooter, but it's a Machine Games first person shooter, so I'm not really actually that. I don't get why people are actually kind of like upset about that. You know, the Wolfenstein games are pretty awesome.
What do you think of its title, The Great Circle?
I'm going to be honest. I think all Indiana Jones names probably sound like that when you first hear them.
Are you. Sorry, Raiders of the Lost Ark? Sounds like The Great Circle? The Temple of Doom?
No, yes. Temple of Doom, Last Crusade definitely sound like The Great Circle, in my opinion.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not saying that they're... I'm not saying that they're like...
Kingdom of the Crystal Skull sounds way cooler than The Great Circle? True. The Temple of Doom is so simple and cool.
I'm just saying that they probably all sound...
The Great
sound,
Circle.
They probably all sound stupid, though. Like, and then you play or watch them, and then you're like, wow.
Okay, well, were you like that when you heard The Dial of Destiny?
No, because that's a fucking shit title.
It's a shit movie.
Look. Okay.
We're just going to argue about Indiana Jones now.
I'm also looking forward to Obsidian doing Elder Scrolls better than Bethesda does, like they did Fallout better than Bethesda done. What's that called again? Avowed?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Yeah.
Can I just say, before we leave you guys, Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater, that will be a no-buy from Benjamin. No Kojima, no Metal Gear. That's just the rules.
I do hope that the Silent Hill remake is good, especially because I don't think any fan base of a popular video game franchise have had it harder than Silent Hill fans across the past 15 or so years. Fuck, that would suck, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, what was that one that came out this year again? The mobile game?
I have no clue.
Apparently that was, like... Awful,
oh,
like,
wait, no,
truly.
Was it the one that's like, it was like a TV show where the audience makes decisions or something? Yeah, no. Fuck knows.
For the sake of Silent Hills fans, I hope, I hope it's good.
Okay, yeah. I think that's done for the best video games of 2023. Looking forward to 2024 and just this, see what happens, eh?
Yep, let's go, let's fucking go.
But actually, I do want to mention, I am currently playing Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown, and I will be talking about that in the 2024 list.
Fuck yeah.
Almost definitely.
Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah. Okay. Goodbye.
Goodbye.